I meant to mention to you that tomorrow night, ladies, there's Miss Kay Chandler will be speaking over at Perry Hill Road Baptist Church, and my wife has invited you, if you'd like to attend, just be here at the church, here at the church at 5:20, and you can go over, if need be, take the church van. All right, but you'll enjoy Miss Kay Chandler. She is a well-known lady speaker that I know will be a blessing to you. So if you can arrange your schedule to be a part of that, I know you'll be blessed. That's at 5:20. Be here, and you'll get to go over and hear Kay. We've been speaking on a series of messages on values that last, and as we've stated in our country, values are something that are missed today, don't seem to be that important to a lot of people. And we'll be continuing the series today, but the title of this message is Developing Self-Control. Developing Self-Control. I want to invite you to our text. It's found in Proverbs chapter 25, as we'll read that in verse 28. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. If you're able to stand, let's read this. I'll read it, and you can just stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, and we'll have prayer. And then John's going to come and sing our special this morning. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule, that is, no control over his own spirit, is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the love that you demonstrate to us on a daily basis. You've even made it possible where we can be here today. Thank you for the good service that we've enjoyed thus far. Oh, we thank you for good music that has tendered our heart, that we've been able to participate in and worship to you. Now, Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Spirit's moving through the message. Lord, help us not to have reason to have to get up and move or walk out, because, Lord, we may miss something that you have for us. So, Lord, help us to be totally attentive and not to be concerned about what goes on after church today. May God, we not allow the devil to rob us of what you want for us today. And, Lord, when the invitation time comes, help us to be sensitive to whatever you would have us do at the invitation. If we need to come to this altar to pray for ourselves or someone, God, help us to be willing to do as you lead. Or, Lord, if there's one today that's not a believer, never trusted you as Savior, that they would realize the importance of not leaving this place today till they have made that decision to invite you in their life. But, Lord, we want to leave here better people than we came. And I pray that would be the case in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And John, you sing for us, if you would. Amen. Thank you, John. I enjoyed that. Good message and song. Proverbs 25, verse 28 is where we're at today. The Bible says again in Proverbs, he that hath no rule or control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In our series, we've been looking at building our life on values that last. We've talked about choosing a standard. We've talked about accepting responsibility, developing trust, and then today we will talk about developing self-control. Now, by the way, this is not exactly a quality that a lot of people want to talk about today. Now, I'm going to be very, very honest with you. I'm not real comfortable in talking about it because it's something that we all have to deal with. And the reason why sometimes we're not comfortable with talking or dealing with matters like this, it simply means that we have to work on self-discipline sometimes. And, by nature, we want to tell others sometimes what they need to work on, but sometimes when we have to admit that we have issues or we have to work on it, self-discipline is not something that always goes over too well with us. You know, we're into whatever feels good, do it type mindset sometimes.
And self-control is an area that all of us have to deal with in one way or the other. It's not just for those who blow up, as we see in this passage, or in other words, get angry. But self-control is also for those who would clam up. You know, I read one time, one writer said that most people are one or two of life. They're either a skunk or they're either a turtle. When a skunk gets in trouble, he said, he stinks the place up. He lets it rip and everybody knows when the skunk's upset. On the other hand, the turtle folds himself into the shell. He hides, he cowers down. They don't blow up, they clam up. Both of these really are inappropriate forms of anger. You see, in our society, it's very obvious that we don't know how to handle anger very well. Especially today. We find that today, in today's time, that violence is on the increase. That crime is on the increase. Profanity, if you've noticed, is on the increase. I mean, you're not able to get on social media. You're not able to... by the way, Josh Moon, who writes for the Montgomery Advertiser, and I'm talking about anger here. The one of the main reasons why I don't buy the Montgomery Advertiser is because of Josh Moon. He's a very liberal editor. Now, I do read sometimes his opinions on, but he has come out recently, and he's one to attack from the Montgomery Advertiser believers. And I shouldn't even promote him today because you're going to want to probably find out who he is. But listen, you know, it's writers like that who help feed crime or violence. And I don't mind stating that. I would tell Josh Moon that to his face. I've met him personally. He's a likable person. But yet it's many of the liberals today are feeding some of the crime and violence that we the anger, just getting people angry about things they don't need to be angry about. It's not worth getting angry about. But anyway, he said something in his article this past week that he might as well have used the cuss word. But he was writing an article, but he put the letter, then left the rest of it blank, which we all know what he's talking about. Well, used to you couldn't find stuff like that even in the newspaper because that was a no-no. But now it's open. Profanity is on the increase. Do you realize half of all murders actually occur between family members? People are getting angry about little things. It seems like that as the frustration level rises, so does the anger. As the anger increases, so does the violence, for which God's children have to learn, as all of us have to learn, what it means to develop self-control in an angry and violent world that we live in today. The Bible, by the way, as you'll see this morning, speaks much, much about anger. Matter of fact, in my study of this message, I mean, I knew the Bible spoke a lot about anger, but I didn't really realize how much, you know, until I got into this study. God addresses this area, so it must be a problem that God knows that we all have to deal with from time to time. And it's important that we as Christians remind ourselves that, hey, we're not to get caught up into losing self-control to where we lose our testimony and so forth and so on. But in every area, God has given us in His Word, He's instructed us on how to develop self-control. Anger, by the way, is not evil in itself. And I want to make a point here. Anger is not evil in itself. Anger is not necessarily a sin. God gets angry. We see that, and I'll show you some examples of that later. But obviously, we know that if God gets angry, there are times where we know anger is not a sin. The Bible says that Jesus got angry, and anger is a God-given emotion. So the problem, though, is how we express our anger, how we express it. In the book of Proverbs, as we just read this passage, God gives us, and there are other places, as we'll see this morning in Proverbs and other passages of Scripture, where God gives us 6 specific suggestions. And in particular here in Proverbs, these are steps or suggestions that'll help us control anger. You say, preacher, I don't have a problem with that. You'd be surprised. You may be that skunk. Or you may be that turtle. You know, we all have to learn how to deal with it, don't we? And but we all have to learn how to control it. And by that, I mean we have to develop self-discipline, self-control. What are some ways that we can do that? What are these steps that Proverbs addresses? Number one is that we have to learn to resolve. We have to learn to resolve. That is to control it. Learn to resolve or to control it. Now, some say, well, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. Have you ever heard that before? Now, listen, you may have been one that said that. I'm just that way. As a believer, we need to quit saying that we can't control it and start realizing that we can with God's help. You see, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of making excuses, we need to start accepting responsibility for our actions. We talked about that a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, a few weeks ago actually, that we addressed accepting responsibility. Proverbs 29, verse 11, if you want to just look back or go over a few chapters, you'll see in verse 11 it says, a fool uttereth all his mind. In other words, a fool always loses his temper. That's really what it's saying there. A fool uttereth all of his mind, he loses his temper, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. That is, when the word keepeth, that means he holds it back till afterwards. Now, notice a wise man keepeth. Now, that is, it is an act of will, right? So if it's an act of will, that simply means it is something that we choose to do. We choose to get angry. We choose to lose self-control, or we lose our temper. Anger is a choice, just like any other emotion. So what do we need to do? We need to resolve to control it. Resolve simply means that we have to decide in advance. Yeah, my mom, I was raised up hearing this a lot. You better bite your tongue. Yeah, anybody ever been told that? Now my mom was bad about biting her tongue, wasn't she? I think that was a trait in our family. And that still hits me from time to time. Whenever I want to really get mad, and I don't... Well, maybe I have bit my tongue. I've got a scar on it a few times. But, you know, bite your tongue. And I take that we need to resolve to control it. Now, I didn't understand that when she was telling me that, but that's kind of a good way to think about it, because resolve simply means to decide in advance. This is the first key. We decided in advance that we're going to control our anger, by the way, with God's help. That's the key. We must resolve to control it with God's help. The second point, if you're taking notes, is a second step or suggestion that we see in Proverbs, that is, we must realize the cost. We must realize the cost of what losing self-control can do. The Bible is very specific about the cost of uncontrolled anger. And by the way, this is a value we're talking about that we've lost in our society. That's the reason why we're seeing violence and crime that's on the rampage, and why people just think that, listen, it's okay to give someone a piece of your mind. But we must realize the cost. The Bible is very specific about uncontrolled anger. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 22. Proverbs 29 and verse 22, and then we'll go over to Proverbs chapter 15. But Proverbs 29 and verse 22 says, an angry man... By the way, the word man there can be generic, right? Meaning man, female, male, female. So an angry man, woman, stirreth up strife, and a furious man abideth in transgression. In other words, an angry man or woman stirreth up strife, and a furious, that is a hot-tempered man, aboundeth in transgressions, or abounds in transgressions. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18 says, a wrathful man, that is someone who is hot-tempered, all right? A hot-tempered man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. That is, calms strife, or another way to look at strife is a dispute. Listen, we would all agree that hot tempers cause arguments, don't they? Hot tempers cause arguments. Now, maybe that's not a problem with you, but maybe you've seen that, or maybe it is an issue with you. You know, anger causes mistakes. People with hot tempers do foolish things. I've shared the story about the time. You remember hearing me share the story about the time I threw a rock at my college friend? Anybody remember that story? Listen, I'm not going to repeat everything, but I remember one time, you know, he wiped mud on me my freshman year. That just rubbed me wrong. He was playing a game with me, I guess. Lynchburg, Virginia is Red Mud City. And he just came up behind me and he wiped mud on me. He ran. Well, I didn't like that. Pick up a rock and threw it at him. You know what? I shouldn't have done that. I look back now. Well, no. Listen, I didn't hit him with it, I don't think. I don't think I hit him with it. I may have. If I did, then I'm sorry. We made it up. We're still friends to this day. But you know what? Sometimes we get mad, don't we? Sometimes we get to the point where we lose our temper. And if not careful, you know, it's foolish. We realize that. And there's some things that we wish that we could go back and undo because of that. You know, all of us have seen somebody really mad do something absolutely crazy and make a fool of themselves. I've shared the story. I once saw a preacher get so angry that he threw his Bible in the trash. But by the way, anger is no respect of persons, is it? You know, even good people get angry and sometimes lose self-control. We all have to develop self-control. There are all kinds of costs that are involved when we get angry. For example, on the job, a person who blows up will put their career in jeopardy when they get angry, especially today, right? You know, Proverbs 14, verse 29, you're in Proverbs, but if you want to look there, in chapter 14, verse 29, it says, "He that is slow to wrath," that is slow to anger, "is of great understanding, but he that is hasty," that is quick-tempered again, "of spirit, exalteth," or exalts, "folly." Proverbs 14, verse 17 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." That is, get quick-tempered, he dealeth foolishly, acts foolishly. "And a man of wicked devices," that is, evil devices, "is hated." In other words, deliberate malice produces hatred. You know, we've seen that. When we lose our temper, we also lose, don't we? Sometimes we may lose our reputation. Sometimes it's been known to lose our children, or the love of our spouse, or our job. When anger goes uncontrolled in our life, then we always lose. There's a price tag, and it's not worth it. We have to think about things. That's why, as Christians, you know, we have a way out. Now, a lost person who is not saved, that's not to say they can't control it, but yet, we're, as believers, we're really without excuse when we say, "Well, I can't help it, I can't control it." Because we do have God's help that we can cry out to whenever that is an issue. You see, there's a price tag that on anger or losing self-control that's not worth it. The Bible says we can even lose our own family and finally have nothing worthwhile left. Proverbs 11:29 says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." What is that passage stating? In other words, the one who mismanages his house will see all he has blown away, and he will have nothing left in the end. He will serve the one who manages well. So, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." In other words, it'll be blown away. That testimony, that reputation can quickly be blown away in a moment's time whenever we don't realize, hey, there's a cost involved. This third point that I want to make here, a third step or suggestion when it comes to developing self-control would be we need to restrain our mouth. We need to restrain our mouth. And where did I get that? Well, I say the word mouth because that's what the Bible says to do. Matter of fact, in Psalm, if you want to look there, in Psalm 141, verse 3 says, the psalmist David prayed this way. Listen how he prayed, because I'm sure, by the way, if you have an issue or you know somebody, this would be a good way to pray as well. When it comes to losing self-control, David says in Psalm 141, verse 3, he said, "Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." What is David saying? He's simply saying, "God, put a guard over my mouth. And Lord, before my..." He said, "Put a guard over my mouth and keep the door of my lips." That is, keep a watch over my lips. Well, we all know what David is saying here. David prayed that God would protect him from the kind of evil that characterized his own enemy. You know, sometimes we point fingers at others and say, "Look how bad they are," when really we ought to be pointing two or three back at us. Because sometimes we're just as bad especially as Christians, when, you know, a lost person can lose their testimony and it won't mean much to anybody. But when a believer, when a Christian loses their testimony, or whenever they... Listen, we've lost much, haven't we? We have to be careful. We've got to think before we speak, because inevitably anger control is mouth control. Anger control is mouth control. So we control, in other words, our anger, then we're controlling our mouth. Have you noticed that you cannot put your foot in your mouth when it's closed? I mean, it's just not going to happen. Proverbs chapter 17, if you're in Proverbs again, look there. Proverbs 17 verse 28 says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth," that is, he keeps his peace, keeps his silent, "is counted wise," that is, he's considered wise, "and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Now, by the way, this is not saying that fools show wisdom in their silence, but what it's really saying is their silence conceals their lack of good sense. Really. You know, if we'll learn to keep our mouth shut, quite often we'll stay out of trouble, won't we? Sometimes we have to learn that the hard way, don't we? I remember as a kid growing up, I was like some of the kids today. I'm no different, and you weren't any different. I'll confess, I back-talked my mom every now and then, and when I did, I paid the price. Listen, I didn't get by with that. Oh, you know, my mom wasn't a mean person. I thought she was then. I could tell my kids on my school bus, you're not going to like me too much sometimes. But I'm at a point now where they call on me, "Would you marry me now?" They want me to do a wedding for them. And my kids have heard this. "Listen, you're not going to like me too much right now in your teenage years. One day maybe you'll love me." And I feel like they do. We have a close relationship. But you know what? We're not all perfect, are we? None of us are. But we have to learn sometimes to keep our mouth shut, even as adults. We have to learn to keep our mouth shut, because the good advice, if we do, sometimes it keeps us out of trouble. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says this, "Whoso keepeth that," whoso guards his mouth and his tongue, "keepeth," that is, guards his soul from troubles. Good advice, right? You see, God gives us a formula to follow. If we look even in the book of James, God says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift." That is, the word swift means be to quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That is, slow to anger. So if we'll do the first two of James, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift, quick to hear, slow to speak." If we do the first two, then what happens to the third? Well, the third one is inevitable, right? Be slow to anger. But if we are slow to listen and quick to speak, then we're going to be quick to get angry, right? So the Bible says it starts with restraining our tongue, our mouth, actually. That's the ultimate form of emotional maturity, the ability to control our mouth. You say, "Preacher, that's self-discipline, and I don't like to hear that." Well, you know what? It does us good to hear it, because it may spare us from some pain that maybe we won't have to get into during Christmas time or during Thanksgiving when the family gathers. and you've been dealing with it all year. And it's now time to just let it out, to be that skunk. I'm just going to stink up the room because I've just endured too much. And you know what? Sadly, there's a lot of problems that take place among families, even during holidays. Sometimes that happens within the church, doesn't it? We have to be careful. Sometimes, you know, we get fed up with one another, sadly. And I'm not saying that. Listen, we're church. We're family. Every church deals goes through this. And sometimes somebody will rub us wrong. And, you know, we've got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to fall in the trap the devil wants to have us fall into. We have to learn self-discipline by restraining our mouth. Then the fourth thing, fourth suggestion, fourth step, is not only, of course, to resolve, realize, and restrain, but to release our anger appropriately. As I said earlier, God says that anger is a part of our emotion that He gave us. And He did. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. I'd love for you to turn there. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Ephesians 4, 26, Paul writes here, but through the inspiration of God, Paul says in Ephesians 4, 26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." That is your anger. Did you get that? God says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger can be either good or bad. Would you agree with that? Say amen. It can be. But it's dependent on your motive and your purpose. Paul may have been saying in this verse in Ephesians 4:26, he may have been saying that it's okay to be angry at evil. You see, this type of anger hates injustice, immorality and ungodliness, and every other sin. And when this type of anger is based on love for God and others, it may not only be permissible, but really God commands us to get angry at these type things. God says that we're to be angry at sin. By the way, there's a difference. Not the sinner, but the sin. It's okay to be angry at sin. How many of you have had injustices that's come your way? Immorality may have affected your family, ungodliness or whatever, drugs or alcohol. Listen, it's not the person that we should get angry at, but it truly is the sin. I know the lost world don't understand that. We've been hearing a lot about homosexuality. You know, we don't hate the sinner, but we hate the sin. And listen, we need to reach the sinner. And the only way that we can reach them is with God's love. But if they see that, hey, they sometimes, sadly, we portray that we hate them versus the sin. And that's what gets us in trouble. By the way, Jesus even expressed righteous anger. Jesus expressed anger. He expressed righteous anger. If you want to look in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12, we'll find one good example. And there's other examples, but one in particular that we know. That says in Matthew 21 verse 12, Jesus went into the temple of God, literally went into the church house in that day, went into the temple and he drove out all them or those that sold and bought. They were using the temple for the wrong reasons, right? Jesus got angry. Got so angry that the Bible says in that verse, He overthrew, that is, He turned over the tables of the money chargers and the seats of them that were selling doves. Why were they selling doves? Well, for sacrificial purposes. Well, they know they, in that time, they would often use animals as for sacrificing. And so, why don't we just make some money off this deal? So they set up their tables in there and they started making money in the church house by doing that. And of course, it was wrong to do, Jesus says. It made him angry. He wasn't angry at the sinner. He was angry at the sin. You see, righteous anger, even righteous anger, if not careful, we can let it lead to bitterness, right? Even righteous anger, we can let it lead to bitterness. So it should be set aside at the end of each day. That's what he's saying. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, deal with it before you go to bed, God says. Because even that righteous anger that makes you so mad, I told you how I don't like sometimes what I hear in the news media, what I read. And boy, if I'm not careful, you know, I can go to bed with that and wake up even madder. You ever get that way? You know, it's okay to hate the drugs and the alcohol. And boy, you could go to bed hating that because it's affected a family member or a loved one and to the point to where you go to bed. And it's okay to be angry at those things. But yet, God don't want us to allow that to turn into bitterness. In other words, what should we do? We should not store it up or suppress that anger, but we must deal with it God's way. And if we don't handle it God's way, then it's always inappropriate. So if it's not automatically a sin, it's not automatically a sin to get angry. There are appropriate ways and there are inappropriate ways to get angry. So the next suggestion is number 5. What do we do? God says in Romans 12, and I want you to turn there, Romans chapter 12, we'll look at verse 17. He says to return. That's right, number 5, return good for evil. Return good for evil. Romans chapter 12. By the way, if anger is prolonged, would you agree with this? It may become hostile and violent. And I've seen Christians get to the point to where, you know, I don't like abortion. I despise abortion. We've seen little Tyler held up this morning. That's God's creation. Thank God for that beautiful child. In God's eyes, that child is perfect in God's eyes. Now, it's a sin. That child has a sinful nature just like we all do. And God has blessed the Williams with this child to raise and nurture in an admonition of the Lord. And they're going to do that in the best of their ability with God's help. But you know what? We have to be careful that we don't allow anger to control us. So they have to learn to teach that child the right kind of way to deal with that. God says in Romans, through Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. That is, never pay back. He says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. By the way, I underline that. Because there's some situation, there are some people that have the attitude, listen, I'm not going to do right. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to make it okay. Right? You ever deal with people like that? So that's why God says, if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. What is he speaking of here? That is, leave room for the wrath of God. Rather give place unto wrath. We're to leave room for the wrath of God. Then he goes on to say, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, that is by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. You see, the heart of the problem is really the problem with the heart. The heart of the problem is with the problem with the heart. Matthew 12:34 says, Jesus says, O generation of vipers. What some strong words there that Jesus was saying. Was Jesus angry here? Well, I believe he was. But it was a righteous anger again. And he was saying, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, it's not our mouth that gets us in trouble. It's our heart that Jesus is saying gets us in trouble. Jesus is saying that whatever's on the inside of us is going to eventually come out, right? If it's in the heart, it's going to come out. And where does it come out of? The mouth. You see, much like a tube of toothpaste. You see, nothing comes out of it until we squeeze it, right? You see, when the pressure's on and we get squeezed, what comes out? That's what we have to think about. What's on the heart? What's in the heart? Whatever comes out is going to be what's on the inside, right? Paul says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Sometimes we take the attitude of the world that we've just got to get back at them. They did me wrong, I got to do them wrong. And if we apply what Romans said, what Paul said, through the inspiration of God, then we don't allow ourselves to get in trouble. What do? We return good for evil. Then the last point this morning that we find in Proverbs, the suggestion or step that we see is that we need to request God's help. If we're going to develop self-control, then we need to request God's help. Psalm 141, verse 3, as we read earlier, again, David said, set a watch. What does that word watch mean? It means a guard. Set a watch, a guard, O Lord, before my mouth or over my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Guard my lips. Again, kind of like my mom said, you better bite your tongue. But in this case, we need to go to God. If you have issues that you know of self-control or trying to develop that, and or maybe with somebody and you just want to make things right or whatever, then we need to request God's help here. Or you know someone like that, you ought to pray for them in that manner. You see, the final principle on developing self-control is asking God to enable us, much like David was praying here in Psalm 141, to enable us, that is to help us. Because we all need self-discipline. You see, in our own power, we are incapable of controlling our mouths or our tongues. In our own power. You see, God is the only one who can help us develop self-control. James chapter 3 and verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. Listen to this verse. James says, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Only God can tame the tongue. So, if you're a Christian, and God saved you, and has given you the power to become all that you need to be, He has done that through the indwelling, the Holy Spirit of God. Praise God for that. You see, what helps us control our tongue is not anything that we do. Yeah, we may bite our tongue every now and then. All that's good advice. But really, when it gets down to it, we need to request God to help me. Where's our help? Well, He's already there if you're saved, right? The indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God is there. We just need to seek His help. We need to seek His advice. And praise God for His Spirit that lives within us, that know Him, and who can give us the victory when we do call out to Him for that. So much can be remedied if we would learn to develop self-control. So many problems that are in our families sometimes, or sometimes in our churches, where the devil loves to get in and disrupt and destroy. If we would just learn to develop self-control, this value, by the way, that we have lost in our society, rather than point the finger and blame, then it would help heal a lot of pain and hurt. I close with a passage of Scripture that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Paul says that if any man be in Christ, let's read that, that if any man be in Christ, in other words, if you are truly a child of God, if you are a believer that you are a child of God, He is a new creature, new creation, right? So let's pause there. If you're in Jesus, you know Him as your Savior, then you are a new creation, right? You've been born again. Basically, it's not your life, but it's God's life. He says in the rest of that verse, all things are passed away. Thank God for that. I'm not the same old person that I used to be. That I'm a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Thank God for His shed blood, that when He saved me, He forgave me. Then he goes on to say, behold, all things become new. So we're without excuse. Well, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. If you're a new creature, it's not the way you are. It's not. That's just you digging up the old way. God says, I have forgiven you of that. That's under the blood. If you're battling with that today, thank God for an altar we can come to and pray and ask God's forgiveness. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We don't have to leave the same way we came today. Thank God for His forgiveness. You see, salvation is free, and with His salvation, God gives us the ability to live a life that can be free from hate and anger that we see all around us. I get angry. I get mad at the sin. Now, sometimes I get mad at the person. That's when I have to learn self-control all over again. And realize the battle that we have today is not with the person, it's with Satan, who is battling the Lord. But we've been set free. We don't have to hate. We don't have to, well, I've got to get back at them. No, let God, by the way, I don't want God's vengeance on me. I don't want God's wrath on me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, God is just saying, if you let me handle it, I'll take care of it. And God's vengeance is going to be far greater than what we could come up with. His way of dealing with it. But if we deal with it, then it's dealt with. Then we're putting God aside. But listen, we must do it God's way. And I close with this last thought. Maybe we be as some here today, be willing to say, God, I need that. I need that self-discipline, that self-control. There may be some today that I'm speaking to that are not saved. But you have that embedded anger maybe. Or really you need victory that only comes through Jesus. And thank God He gives the victory, doesn't He? I encourage you today, why don't you do like David, if you're here. Do like David, be honest enough, just say, God, I need help. I need help. I'm one that needs help. And from time to time, you know, when we're like David and we just get to that point, we realize that, you know, we realize we're going to have to do it again maybe down the road, but thank God He's there to help if we request His help. He said, why do I have to request it? Because God says if we don't ask, then sometimes we ask amiss. Sometimes if we don't ask, then listen, we miss out on what God has for us. James talks about that. So we need to ask for God's help. And God leaves the choice up to us what we want to do with it. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed. Is that you today? You need to develop self-control, or you know somebody. It's a value that's lost in our society, but are you willing to maybe help restore it by being that one that says, hey, I need it in my life. Or I know somebody. Maybe God would lead you to deal with it today at the altar, or maybe just like someone to pray with you, or maybe a salvation you need today. Father, we bow before You this morning, realizing, Lord, we're in need, Lord, a need of turning this nation around. But Lord, it starts in the church house. It starts with us individually. And God, if there's values in our life that's missing, and this is one area of self-control that, God, we see is out of whack in our society, may you start right here today. Lord, if there's someone that needs to come for whatever reason today, they would feel liberty to step out and do as You lead. We pray this in Your holy name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed and Christians praying, John's going to lead our song of invitation. Some have already made their way. Are you willing to say, hey,
without Him,
I need to make that step. I need to be at this altar. Or I need to go to this person.
Without Him,
or, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd be in heaven. Oh, listen, you don't have to leave that way today. You can leave here knowing that you're in the right hands, and that's the Lord's. But you have to be willing to say, God, I need You. I need to accept You as my Savior today. If you'd like to know more about that, we have people that can counsel with you. If you'd be willing just to make that step, and God will do the rest. Do you know Him today? Or maybe something's not right in your life. Well, listen, we need to get back in a day in our time where God's people realize that when God points things out, we're willing to confess it and make it right. If you're like that today, why don't you make that step? Just come to this altar and lay it before the Lord.
Without Him, I would be dying.
Amen.
Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away, oh Jesus, sweet Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Appreciate that. And appreciate your faithfulness to be out today. And again, we have some that are battling sickness, and you know someone that's out today. Remember to either card them, write them, call them this week, and let them know you're praying for them. I was told Brother Grant is at the dorm. He's in the